Hello, everyone. You're listening to Battle Red Radio. This afternoon, I'm joined by my good friend Taylor, the Deep Impact, My Armageddon. How are you this afternoon, Taylor?
What's Armageddon?
Armageddon?
What's Armageddon?
Oh, don't you know it's Armageddon?
I don't know what that even means, but I guess I'm going to take it as a compliment. I'm doing okay, though. You know, the weather's nice. It's too hot. I've been inside as my hermit self. And, you know, just been thinking about football.
Yeah.
That's what I do,
football,
man.
Football.
Been obsessed, because who cares about baseball, right? Nothing's going on in baseball.
Well, baseball's dead to me.
Okay, well, now we're getting personal with you.
Baseball's dead. Yeah, okay. I don't really get personal about it.
Okay, thank God.
I mean, my life's in shambles, but hopefully everything ends up okay.
So we didn't
do a show on Tuesday. I haven't had a chance to write all this week. My life's in shambles, but somehow I was able to carve out an hour of my life. Like, if this was a jack-o'-lantern, like, this is one little eye I was able to carve out to this show today, because that's how much I care about you and our loyal listeners out there.
That's good. Well, you have to care about our 4 million listeners. And also at the same time, your life is in shambles. Listen, you should just... How long have you had your car?
Almost 11 years now.
Oh my God.
I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, this... Okay.
Like, it's a lot of personal drama. I don't want to get into it.
Oh, glory.
I don't want to take the spotlight off the games we have here.
Of course.
So last week, there was a lot of quarterbacks under the age of 25 who started football games. We had Gardner Minshew, age 23. Luke Falk, the Jets quarterback, he's 25. Sam Darnold is 22 whenever he comes back. Lamar Jackson is 22. Patrick Mahomes is 24. Josh Allen is 23. Kyle Allen is 23. Kyler Murray is 22. Mason Rudolph is 24. Deshaun Watson is 24. Jared Goff is 25. Baker Mayfield is 24, and Mitchell, he doesn't like being called Mitch. Mitchell Trubisky is 25. So who's your favorite under 25 quarterback out there?
How do you not like Mitch? Like, you want Mitchell?
We call him Chill Trubisky?
Okay, we're not going to call him that. He doesn't deserve any type of nickname right now. Unless you're just saying because he goes cold all the time. Oh,
yeah.
I like it. Now we're on the same page.
There we go. All
right, so as far as my favorite, we're going to go with Patrick Mahomes on this.
Okay.
And the reason why, I was wrong.
Yeah.
I was wrong. Okay. I'd never expected...
Like, what you are with the Chiefs, I am with the Rams. And I have to admit, I'm wrong about the Rams.
Yeah, I guess so, even though I'm still not big on... The Rams, we'll get into it, but they looked awful. They looked so terrible, no matter what anybody tells me. They did not look good.
They had 3 turnovers.
Come on. They wanted to lose that game. We'll get into it again. But either way, when it comes to Mahomes, dude, you could put any receiver there. As long as they can get downfield a little bit, he's going to get them open.
Yeah.
I think it's the most impressive thing about it, where no matter what, you just plug a receiver in and they're going to catch a touchdown.
They lose their left tackle. Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. He's going to get the ball out. I think that's where my appreciation for him has now just skyrocketed, where I'm with the media. I'm with every fan base of just kind of building him up to being something special. The fact that he's able to do that, and no matter what weapons are leaving him, it's impressive, no matter what.
Yeah, what is a DeMarcus Robinson?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
And especially with that hairstyle. Who knew?
It's pretty cool.
Oh, it's crazy.
It's like if Robbie Anderson was like, had his life together.
Robbie Anderson looks gross with it. I hate his hairstyle so much.
Also, I like how Mecole Hardman is just Tyreek Hill, but longer and skinnier.
Yeah.
It's like they just stretched him apart a little bit.
And once Tyreek Hill comes back, whenever that is, have they even given it to... I think he's still, like, no timetable for
he's
it.
He's, like, 5 to 7 weeks more.
Because
probably.
If it was, like, the same type of clavicle as Foles, they were saying that it was, like, week 10 and 11 for him.
Yeah.
So, who knows with Tyreek. But either way, once he comes back, they're just going to have nonstop speedsters going down the line. And you're just going to watch, and he's just going to pick and choose. Should I go left? Or should I just throw it? You know what? I'm just going to throw it down the middle, and we'll see who goes first.
I don't know how you deal with it.
I think the only
way you deal with it is you run the ball a lot.
Exactly. You have to keep the ball out of his hands.
Yeah, like what New England did last year. What the Titans did the year before that.
And that was the thing. It was really disappointing to see Earl Thomas' little game plan. Oh, we got it. It's going to stop him. Hey, man, it didn't stop him.
He just threw it over his head.
Yeah, your game plan didn't work.
But he was just trying, like, I'm over here. Oh, I'm going to go over here now. That's all he did. That was his game plan.
But that's my argument for Mahomes. I'm on the bandwagon. I'm sorry it took me so long. If you want me, you can have me.
Yeah. My answer to this question is Josh Allen, of course.
Oh, yeah, we already know.
Just like that Bengals game, he made like three plays I've never seen before.
Okay.
One of them, there is a slot corner blitz, and he looks at it and he goes, okay. So he takes a snap, he waits for the guy to get like 3 feet from him, he runs forward, then runs back, and then the guy like pretty much falls down, scrambles to the left, outruns another defensive lineman, and then throws the ball downfield. He fumbled the ball on a bootleg, picked it up, outran defensive lineman, and then picked up a four-yard gain. He's just the best.
That's why?
He ran out four tackles in the backfield. And it's like defensive linemen fully wrap him up, and he just like moves their head down very gently.
I like how you just made that motion right there where it's like you're at your chest and your hand's just going down all the way like past your
waist. You drop the top down or the sunroof.
That's what it, you drop
and
the
then
top.
He just slowly moves the defensive linemen's down to the ground and then
uncomfortable having to watch this again over and over.
That's
again.
What he does.
He moves it.
Yeah, he's the best, so I love watching him. But I think like with all these young quarterbacks, I'm so glad this is happening because I'm so tired of Tom Brady. I mean, I still like
yeah,
Philip Rivers just because
Tom Brady. He's not gonna.
I'm
die.
So
He's not
tired.
Going anywhere.
I'm so tired
man.
Of it.
It's like the one guy who's
I'm
healthy.
I'm glad we don't have to watch Drew Brees anymore. I'm glad we don't have to watch Ben Roethlisberger. Get rid of all these dinosaurs. I'm tired of all of them. I'm tired of this 2004 nostalgia. I'm tired of I'm playing Madden 07. These guys are still in this game. I'm ready for all new quarterbacks. I've had enough of these guys.
Okay, the Big Ben, I'm going to give you that. Yeah, I'm tired of it only in the sense where I just don't like the guy, it seems. He just always kind of second guesses where he has the same type of Aaron Rodgers douchebag mentality, except he kind of hides it a little more and to me always wants to be the nice guy.
He doesn't talk as much.
He comes across as like just the scummy guy, that just the creeper guy at the bar who comes up to you and it starts making random conversation.
You
want to do is say, go away, dude.
Yeah, yeah. You
That's
don't drink the drink he gives you.
Yeah, exactly. You just don't trust him. And so the Big Bang thing, I'm all for. They just need to get a new damn quarterback. And then when it comes to Drew Brees, I disagree. Because, Teddy, come on, man. I don't want to watch the dinking, just the 5-yard.
Oh, yeah,
I don't want to watch
that. We'll get to that. But, yeah, I guess the thing is, I'm just like, I'm tired of these old quarterbacks with their old balls and their lack of arm strength and, like, their ability
just
like. Reminds
me of Big Daddy.
Yeah, that's
old
the point.
Old balls? Gross.
Yeah, that's the point. That's the joke. I'm glad you got
and
it.
And I just wanted to emphasize.
Yeah, yeah, I'm glad you got it. And so I'm tired of it. I'm ready for the kids. And the kids were good. I especially like him whenever they actually let him throw the ball downfield, too. So you watch the Dolphins play the Cowboys. Say something nice about the Miami Dolphins. Can you do that?
They tried hard in the first half.
Good. There
they
you go.
Tried hard, and they got an interception.
Okay.
So there you go. They did something positive where I was just so happy. Because, again, another team we'll get into tonight. I was so happy that turnover happened against the Dolphins. Because and people are going to make fun of him. He was trying too much to do with Dak. And the fact that he turned it over against the worst team, it just shows we still won the game. Don't make that mistake again. He'll learn from it.
Yeah.
It's good.
Because I brought this up because I'm not watching Miami play the rest of the year. I'm not watching
the
Jets play with Luke Falk at quarterback. When Darnold comes back, I'll watch the Jets. And I was about to not watch the Giants at all anymore. And they brought, you know.
The Savior.
They brought the Savior
Danny
in.
Dimes.
They brought Danny Dimes in.
Danny Dimes is here.
And I got my cargo shorts on. And so I guess I'm watching Danny Dimes play. And I was like, because I wasn't watching Eli ever again. Like, I was done with it. And I've been done with it for like 2 years now. The Giants should be done with it.
Eli's been done. You can even see on his face.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's still there just kind of disappointed me where somebody should have really told, and it should have been an older brother, Peyton, hey, man, it's time. It's okay. It's time.
Maybe you should have done the opposite. Be like, hey, you should keep playing. You're really good at this. Be like, you can't tell him what to do, Peyton.
You know, it's the greatest thing ever is when John Elway picks up Eli Manning for next year. That's what he's going to do because that's just his MO.
I'm thinking that or I was thinking, yeah, like I watch these quarterbacks and I'm like, oh, he's going to end up in Denver next year.
No, yeah, that's all you have to do. But Eli Manning
Eli's
is so
good.
Because John Elway's going to be like, I did it with one Manning. I can do it again.
I can see Marcus Mariota there.
No, Marcus Mariota is terrible.
I can see Jameis Winston there.
Talk about a team that nobody expected them to be what they are. My God, that team is just so awful. Tannehill's going to be starting here. I can't wait.
Yeah. Well, they play a pretty good game this weekend. Oh, no. Oh, I have it right here.
Who cares?
Do you know? They play Atlanta this weekend.
Oh, God.
The Battle of the South.
A battle of the turnovers.
So the top five teams by DVOA right now, they're New England, Dallas, San Francisco, Kansas City, and Baltimore. Would these be your top five teams? This is by DVOA. Or what are your top five teams at the moment?
I'm going to say Dallas, 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 and Dallas.
Okay.
I think those are really my top teams. I don't think anybody else should really be mentioned until they can impress me like what Dallas has. I'm just kidding. It's really Kansas City and Dallas.
Okay.
And New England.
What are your last two?
I don't have anybody. I'm picking the teams that I would even put Baltimore up there a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm just picking the teams that look just extremely dominant, where they just look like they have it all together, where it's just a nice, even flow mm-hmm. with how the team is working versus, dude, whatever you're saying about the Rams is garbage. The Rams look not good. No matter what anybody tells me, Jared Goff is not a good quarterback.
He can't.
And Gurley doesn't look
good.
He can't
win from the shotgun zone.
They don't want to give the ball to Gurley because they know he's not going to hold up.
Well, and they can't run the ball off the middle, so they're going to run the ball on the sidelines and like, I don't know, they're still well coached, and I think
you're right. They're well coached, but they're not a great team by any.
I haven't.
They're not any better than any of the teams that I mentioned. I think they're the next level
fifth.
Below. You have them as
fifth. Yeah. So I have New England, and I have Dallas. I have Kansas City, New England, Dallas, Baltimore, and then Los Angeles.
Maybe you could put them at five for the argument, but either way, I'm just not a big believer. I don't like that team, and they should have lost against Cleveland. They should have lost.
I mean, they had three turnovers.
God, I hate Jared Goff. And I'm so happy they paid him, though. I can hate him all I want, but they paid that man that money, and he did not deserve that type of money.
Well, I was hoping they weren't going to, because then this year that'd be the storyline. Are the Rams going to keep Goff? Do they want him to stay? I mean, he's also 25, but like he can't win from the shotgun.
By the way, you couldn't do that to his psyche. You could not do that to Jared Goff, where it's like, hey, man, you better perform. Otherwise, who knows? Jared Goff would be like crying in the locker room after every game in his flip-flops and basketball shorts.
Yeah.
God, I hate Jared Goff.
Yeah, he can't win. He can't carry a passing offense on his own. They've asked him to do it. Like, that Carolina game is hilarious because the first half is, all right, Jared, let's bring out this new offense we've been working on. And it's like, you know, shotgun, four wide receiver sets, and it worked for one half. And he's like 16 for 30, and then they just went back to running the ball, and they had success again.
He can't do it.
Like, anybody can play quarterback in that offense.
Yeah,
put Case Keenum in that offense.
Especially with all of his weapons, too. It just, they don't look good.
Yeah.
They really don't. And this is where, when it comes to the playoff time, I'm glad. By the way, I was talking about this earlier with a lot of women whenever we get into the games. Does the discrepancy in the NFL seem like really big this year versus teams that are great versus teams that are just not good? It just seems like that every year or this season, just like how we're talking about Dallas, Baltimore, where we're just like, man, they haven't played anybody.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like no teams have played anybody, which is weird. It just seems like half the teams are just really bad. Half the teams are really good.
I think there's like five really good teams, five really bad teams, and then there's like 10 teams that are below average and 10 teams that are above average, and you have no idea what to do with them.
Yeah, I got nothing for anything with this NFL.
I mean, I think it's a real bell curve, you know?
You know what? I don't like
68, 95, 995.
No, I'm out.
That's how it works.
That's not how that goes.
So I got a new segment. You ready for it?
I don't like new segments. I'm leaving.
This is called the Fun Stat.
I'm out.
This is the Fun Stat segment. This is fun. Are you ready? So,
I'm ready for a fun time.
The Colts are sixth in offensive DVOA at 16.5%, but Jacoby Brissett, average depth of target, 5.6 yards, which is the second lowest amount of football. His average yards to the first down marker is -4.1. His average completion intended air yards is 2.8. So, like, the ball goes 2.8 yards on average to the receiver before he catches it. He's thrown 7 touchdowns with an interception. He has a completion rate of 71.7%. So, like, I always love the downfield passing teams, and I think that's vile having a great offense. It's like, oh, here's the Colts, and he's the ultimate game manager, and he just, like, throws bootlegs to wide open receivers, and, you know, nothing really matters at all.
You know what I think I love about this whole fun stat thing? Hey, Matt, who are you starting in fantasy this week?
Jacoby Brissett.
There you go.
Yeah.
You just insulted the man, and yet you are going to be relying
on
him.
He's going to throw 250 yards and 3 touchdowns and 0 interceptions.
There it is. And yet you... So are you insulting Brissett? Do you not feel like you're a fan? Do you feel the numbers are skewed in a way?
He's been better than I thought he was going to be, but I'm not a fan because he doesn't throw the ball downfield. And that's all I care about.
Yeah, but can he throw the ball?
Dude.
Hold on. How's T.Y.? We're not talking about this team. Hurt. Yeah, is he going to be playing anytime soon, or what was it that went wrong?
No, he's playing this week.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. He's been good this year, but he's also catching short passes and bringing a bunch of tackles for him.
You know what? Who cares? If it's working, it's working.
I guess so.
You're just a big hater. That's all you are.
It doesn't jive with the way I want to see the game
played. It doesn't jive. You're so bougie, man. When did you get like this? I thought you were a man of the game.
Well,
no.
You're
a man of the riches.
I had a glass of Moscato last weekend. Oh. And since then, everything's really changed.
You only drink Stella for beers now, too.
No.
Because you say Stella Artois.
It depends. It depends where I'm at. All right, so the news hour. Tennessee, Delanie Walker not practicing today.
Ooh.
Knee injury. Atlanta, Ito Smith, concussion, resumes practicing.
There you go. So
he's
back.
Better than Foreman.
Yeah.
Freeman. He's better than Freeman.
I don't know who's better.
Freeman can just
Freeman's
run.
So terrible.
He just runs fast in a straight line, but he can't change direction at all.
But Ito didn't even look that good. I don't know. Ito's had probably like two breakaways, so that's more than what Devontae has had this season. It's just, I guess that's good for concussion protocol. I guess that's good for Atlanta.
Yeah. The Giants. Bet you on Janoris. I don't have concern. Don't know what that means, but Janoris Jenkins and DeAndre Baker have been awful this year.
Janoris Jenkins should have
they
concern.
They just lean him one versus one on the outside. It's like, oh, there's a 75-yard pass. There's a 45-yard pass. There's a 35-yard pass.
There's been a lot of that going on as well, even with Philly. We're not talking about them either, but people are targeting their number one wide and just be like,
been terrible.
You're not that good.
Yeah, Darby's
been
awful.
Is where we're going to show everybody you're not that good.
Washington, McLaurin pops up an injury report with a hamstring.
Ooh.
Pittsburgh, Vance McDonald unable to practice today with the shoulder injury. Lance Lynn doubts Melvin Gordon plays on Sunday. He's back in the building. Good for him.
What do you think of that? For me, Melvin Gordon was never a guy that deserved to hold out.
No, he shouldn't have held
you,
out.
You are not that guy.
Fine. You know, it's his decision. He knows what he wants. And
the
he's
Chargers are
it.
Welcoming back with open arms, it seems.
Yeah, well, they should.
Really?
Yeah. That's their guy, you know?
But it just seems like you can't really trust that guy. You can't open him. I wouldn't open my arms up unless you're going to sign on the dotted line. And then I'll open my arms.
Well, they don't want to resign him. And also, if you're a running back, you can do whatever you want.
What do you mean they don't want to resign him? Then why would we play him?
The Chargers don't want to resign him.
Then why would they play him?
Because they still have him in their contract this year.
Yeah, but Eckler's just
fine.
He
makes him better. It's good to have more running backs.
Jackson and Eckler do just fine.
Yeah, but like he's better than both of them.
Yeah, but together, no, hold on. I would say he's better than him individually.
Yeah,
I would say together they would make the same as him.
Now you can use all three of them. It's amazing.
Well, why would you do that?
That's what you do.
It cuts away from the other.
Case Keenum, foot. He's in full practice. Edelman, chest, the limited. Cordy Glenn, Cincinnati, concussion, resumes practicing. Miami, Albert Wilson, expect to return versus the Chargers. Let's start the show. There we go. So last week for the picks, I went 3-1. You went 3-1. I'm 7-2 in the season. You're 5-4. Tonight, Green Bay, the Philadelphia Eagles are flying into town on a one-horse sleigh. The Packers are 4.5-point favorites. Real quick, this doesn't count for the year for totals, but who's your quick pick for this one?
It better be Green Bay, and I need them to destroy Philly again. I cannot believe that Philly has a shot here to go 1-3. I'm like freaking out right now. Because I never thought that this would actually transpire. I always said, though, and I, even though they've lost weapons, I still stand by it. Wentz doesn't look good. No matter what, he doesn't look good. Sure, Aguilar has dropped a pass. Sure, his other wide receiver, I can't remember whoever 16 is from last week, dropped a pass in the end zone for Detroit game. I get it. It's just Wentz still doesn't look okay to me. And maybe that is because he's lost a lot of weapons, but they still have not been running the ball with Jordan Howard like they talked about.
Yeah.
They haven't been doing the
their
things.
Their backs have been bad.
Doug Peterson and their offensive line went in thinking it was the best. And now people are like, oh, look how bad this is. Wentz doesn't have any of the protection he needs. What?
Well,
you said it was the best O-line. Now all of a sudden we feel bad for Wentz?
Their left guard was bad, Big V, but he was better last week. But he was bad the first two games.
Yeah,
he was better last week. Last week the pass protection wasn't an issue.
The issue
is that they gave up a kick return touchdown, and they had a red zone turnover, and they dropped passes. Like Dallas Goedert dropped some awful passes that game too.
Yeah, I know.
And they still had a chance to win. They didn't do it.
I I would really love for Philly to lose this game. I'm interested in both teams because I feel like Aaron Rodgers is going to have to throw the ball in this game. I just don't know if they're going to throw the ball. They've been so boring to me.
Yeah.
It's just been running. It's
that LaFleur offense, man.
I know, but
boring,
it's been winning.
Boring. Well,
but
their
defense is winning really good.
Their defense is great. You know, all summer said they're going to have a great pass rush. I think it'd be a top five pass rush. Best pass rush in football right now.
And you can't hate on it because they've actually had some opponents, even though Minnesota's they destroyed Minnesota.
Yeah.
This is a good Green Bay team.
I really do like watching Kirk Cousins play now because it's like short pass. They're down by 13. He's like slowly unraveling, losing his mind. It's like deep pass, overthrown, deep pass, interception, deep pass.
His eyes get so big.
And then you just see the devastation. It's hilarious.
What do you got though for this?
I would take the points in this one.
What's the points in this?
The Eagles are 4.5 point.
Underdogs?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I would take the points.
No, I wouldn't take the points for this at all.
I would take the points this one.
Not at all. You're buying me a drink.
Maybe.
All right.
I'll buy you a kiss.
Okay. Well, you can't buy that. That costs nothing.
So the first game we're going to talk about tonight is Carolina-Houston, then Cleveland-Baltimore, then New England-Buffalo, and finally the Cowboys heading to New Orleans.
Ooh, ooh.
So Kyle Allen last week, 9.2 intended air yards, 8.3 completion average air yards, an aggressive percentage of 7.7%. His expected completion percentage was plus 9.2%. Cam Newton in his 2 weeks in the same stats. 8.4 intended air yards, 6.8 intended completion air yards, an aggressive rating of 16.9%. His expected completion percentage was negative 9.3%. His bad throw rate was 29.2%. So Kyle Allen, the offense wasn't dramatically different. All Kyle Allen did last week was make the open throws that have been there all along, that Cam Newton was underthrowing, overthrowing, sideways throwing, hurling, regurgitating, pooping, whatever verb you want to use.
Pooping is usually the one I would use.
Yeah, so this summer we talked about this. You said Cam Newton's not going to be here this year.
Huh.
This is Will Grier's show. Huh. You're like 65% right.
I'm much more than that. I'm 90%
I'll give you
right.
75%.
Oh, come on.
Because you were so confident this Will Grier thing.
Oh, okay. I was confident the Will Grier thing. Either way, it was just Cam Newton.
You just had the wrong quarterback.
Exactly. It was just in the end, though, like what I said. And I agreed with your point overall. You thought this Carolina team was going to be the real deal on both offense and on defense. And I said, no.
If Cam was healthy.
If Cam, well, it doesn't matter. Because I said, no, it doesn't matter if Cam is playing. It's terrible. If Cam is not playing, they're going to win.
Yeah, I understand.
That's what I'm
saying. I don't
want to
get a circular argument, but yeah.
But I was right. That's all I want to know.
Yeah.
But you admitted it, which is all I want to know.
Yeah.
Okay,
and
cool.
So, and the thing about Cam, too, is, we're talking purely as a thrower. He's not used as a runner anymore.
He's had
one carry for, 2 yards, that fourth down conversion they had, where he reached out and his knee went down.
It was spectacular.
But they're not using him as a runner at all, so it's now you just have a guy who's accurate instead of a guy who's inaccurate quarterback, and the offense is probably 50% better now as a result because of it.
Oh, I completely agree. And by the way, did you even know where this guy came from?
Yeah, I guess he was that
Hello,
guy.
We
he
got
was
a Texas boy, man.
He was Trill Allen, who threw for 700 yards in 2 games in A&M.
Yeah.
And then transferred to Houston.
And he played 3 games as a junior, and then he never played.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he's just a guy who went undrafted.
He was the number one recruit, too, and everything else.
Yeah, coming out of high school. It's the most interesting thing, because what is it? And this is kind of my real question to you, because you're a guy who watches tape and loves to evaluate players. For me, I'm just like, hey, what does his hair look like? You know what I'm saying?
But what color are the jerseys?
Yeah, what color? Okay, all right. Either way, when it comes to Kyle Allen, I was really surprised because he never played. He never got the real shot, and when he did, people were better than him in college. But the moment he goes to the NFL as an undrafted QB, he wins the spot over Will Grier.
Yeah.
Everybody, even the preseason, including you, were telling me, Taylor, Will Grier's not going to start. He's not even the backup. So the fact that the guy even came in undrafted and beat out Will Grier as the backup and is now the starting QB and looked wonderful, and McCaffrey even looked better. This team looks solid because, like you said, he didn't do anything special. He just made the plays that the team gives him because this team is dominant. They have the weapons. They just didn't have the QB.
Yeah, and I mean, he even missed some throws too. He overthrew Olsen a few times. But there's
the
open guys here. And and with North Turner's offense, I'm bummed because with Newton last year when he was healthy, It was a fun house. It's like, oh, here's a reverse. Now it's an option. Oh, now he's throwing it 45 yards. And like you lose that aspect of it, but it's still fun to see like North Turner's vertical offense, which you're going to see here with Sam. Like Samuel's been open all year.
I know.
DJ Moore has been open all year. Samuel's been awesome this year.
Like, but everywhere you look, you're just like, you should have thrown the ball to him because yeah, he's open.
Wide open.
How?
Yeah.
Who is supposed to be guarding him?
And like DJ Moore did that Steve Smith thing where he catches a dig and then runs for 45 yards after that. That was cool.
Catches a what?
A dig.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just making sure.
It's a deep in route, a dig route.
Dig, yeah. For some reason, I was thinking something else.
That's fine. But the thing about the Panthers, one of the problems they've had is that both Darrell Williams and Taylor Motta have had trouble on the outside. Chandler Jones had 2 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, 2 quarterback hits. Shaq Bear had 3 sacks, 4 quarterback hits, 3 tackles for a loss. Dante Fowler in week 1 had 2 sacks, 3 quarterback hits, 2 tackles for a loss. And so on the interior, you can't beat them. Like, no, there's no interior pass rush. It's all coming from the exterior. And everybody's had a good game. Every great pass rusher, I wouldn't include Fowler in that, but Fowler's been pretty good this year. Like, great edge rushers have been able to have success against Carolina. And this week, it's J.J. Watt and Wendy Merciless. And last week, they combined for 3 sacks, 6 quarterback hits, 4 tackles for a loss. Merciless forced a fumble as well, too. That was recovered by Zach Cunningham. And so, like, I don't think Houston can cover Carolina. If Carolina comes out throwing the ball downfield, they can score points to beat Houston. But the one thing is if they can pass block, if Wendy Merciless and J.J. Watt can ruin enough drives for them to allow them to win, you know, 31-27, score like that. Because I think Carolina's been able to score points and move the ball against them.
So I feel like this entire segment is just about how Taylor is right. So are you a believer in your own team now?
No.
What? Even with them being 2-1, they defeated the phonies last week, which, I mean, big surprise, they're phonies. But it was still an impressive win.
It was a good win.
I think the only thing that's wrong with your team is kind of like what we've talked about here, where they just play up or down to their competition.
And their secondary is bad.
Yeah, but overall, it doesn't matter because of your offense. For me, it's the same thing where your offense, no matter what, is going to be able to put up points on the board unless you're going up against Jacksonville where you're just wanting to play down to the mustache.
Yeah.
It's just I really like your offense a lot, and Merciless, isn't this what every Texans fan has been excited for because now they got Merciless back to being the dominant force that he was? Aren't you supposed to be excited? You're the worst Texans fan I've ever seen in my entire life.
I'm more excited about DJ Reader because Reader has collapsed in the pocket, and he's an actual source of interior pass rush. And like Merciless has matched Clowney's production from last year, but Reader has been the biggest difference between last year and this year, where it's like, Merciless just filled Clowney's shoes. He's not the same like run defender as he is, but he's been as good, if not better, as a pass rusher. But DJ Reader just like destroying the pocket every single pass rush has been the biggest difference. And
so isn't that positive? Isn't
yeah,
that
good.
What you want to see?
Good.
Then what are you? I'm saying that like so mopey and down, like it doesn't mean anything.
The only thing I'm apprehensive about is they've won. They played 3 1-score games. They've won 2 of them.
Is Houston going to lose
the
division?
They still have the same issues. I don't know.
They're going to win this division, dude.
I don't know.
You're out of your mind if you don't think that they're going to win this division. How great has Tennessee looked, Matt? Do you think that Brissett...
They look pretty bad.
I don't think that Brissett's going to do as well against the Houston Texans. I don't know. I'm not...
Because they have to run the ball.
Yeah.
And they have a really good run defense.
And the little tiny passes just aren't going to seem to work. I'm much bigger on the Houston Texans than you are. And by the way, are you surprised that Cutie is pretty much lost his job?
Well, they don't have hot routes to use them at all. It's like if there's a blitz, they don't have like a guy running a drag route through the field. And they
Kenny
don't have
Stills,
that.
Man.
But he's more of a downfield receiver though for him.
Yeah, but still, him and Watson are building a relationship. They're loving each
other.
Yeah,
he's good.
Kiki Cutie is about to be bye-bye Cutie. You know what I'm saying?
It's still only his second year.
What do you mean it's still only his second year? His second year that he's still never healthy for.
They're predominantly vertical. It's either like intermediate routes to Hopkins or vertical. And they don't have that quick passing route at all. And if it does go to somebody, it goes like Duke Johnson the flat, you know?
Yeah, at least excited for Carlos Hyde, too. You want some Hyde in your life?
Hyde's fine.
What do you mean
he's a lot better than he's ever been before. And, like, he's running really vertical. His cutbacks are great. He's breaking a lot of tackles.
Would you rather have Lamar Miller or Carlos Hyde?
Carlos Hyde's been better than Miller's been.
Oh, that's what I was going to say, too.
Yeah.
Interesting that Carlos Hyde has been kind of bringing Lamar Miller went out.
And the problem with Miller is that they haven't gained too much weight. No, he was awesome Miami. I think he gained 15 pounds to be able to carry the ball 320 times a year, which is stupid because they didn't have a backup running back for him. And now all of a sudden they realize this 6 years later. It's like, oh, you know what's a good idea? Have 2 good running backs instead of just have 1 running back that we completely terrorize this man and have him get hit over and over again.
Sometimes you only need one, though. Two is too many.
Yeah, I guess so. The other thing, too, is that they have used their three different offensive line combinations. Last week was Laramie Tunsil, Max Sharping, the rookie they selected in the second round, was playing left guard. It was Nick Martin at center. It was Zach Fulton at right guard. And then Tyus Howard, the first-round pick, moved to right tackle. They did fine job in pass protection, but the Chargers didn't blitz at all, and it was a lot of, like, Bosa versus Ingram, one versus one rushes. I think the Panthers can rush from the entire front. It's not just an exterior rush. They can rush from the interior, too. They can also blitz some with Shaq Thompson. Kuechly doesn't really blitz, but he drops back in coverage, and he may be able to go Watson to an interception or so. But I think Carolina will rush five this game, maybe rush six sometimes, try to get their best edge rushers out there and create more of a problem in that regard, too. So I this is a very weird game, though. Like, I think this game can go either way. I think it's strange. I think this game really comes down to Watt and Merciless winning those matchups on the edge and being able to crane up big plays and stop enough of Carolina's drives, because if Carolina's throwing the ball downfield, they're going to be able to move the ball against Houston.
I think we're going to see a lot of sword action play going on by Merciless in this game. I feel like Allen's going to have a little bit more difficulty when it comes to the Houston Texans than he did against the Arizona Cardinals.
For sure.
I feel like this is going to be a really nice test for the young QB to see really what he's made of. Overall, I'm not as confident as I want to be in the Houston Texans for this game, only because of what Carolina brings on both sides of the ball. So in the end, even when it comes to Allen, this being his first opponent, this being tough, I do have Carolina winning this game.
Yeah.
What's your final score on this?
I have Houston 27-23. They're 4.5-point favorites, so I would take the points in this one.
What did you just say you have?
Houston Texans 27, Carolina Panthers 23.
I have the exact same score, opposite.
Oh, interesting.
Ooh, are you looking at my notes again?
No. The other thing I want to bring up, too, Christian McCaffrey, 141 yards before contact, 177 yards after contact, 7 broken tackles. Houston has problems tackling. They had problems with Kamara in week one. They're facing a similar level of back here, and I think this could be an enormous McCaffrey game, especially if they get him out wide. They get him in passing, you know, good passing situations too. I think you could do kind of similar things that Kamara did to Houston week one too. But I think it's going to be a one-score game.
Like, I
it's
agree.
A coin flip game.
But that's what I mean, is that either way, with that's where I feel a little bit sorry for a Houston Texans fan. Every single one of your games, you're going to be a coin flip.
Yeah,
every
unless
single
they
one
play
of them.
A team that has to run the ball like,
you
I
think
don't
with
know.
Indianapolis, to give you a
yeah,
solid
Indianapolis
point.
Is an
yeah,
example.
That's what it all comes down to.
Yeah, so we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about Cleveland, Baltimore.
Hey, man, pick up my phone.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
And we're back. So the next game we're going to talk about here are the Cleveland Browns going to Baltimore, where the Ravens are 7-point favorites. So I have a business venture for you. It's Big Dog Brand, Big Dog, Cleveland Brown, Big Dog Clothing. What do you think?
I'm not a business guy, so I'm out.
Dang. That's a no for me, Jim.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
So it'd be like the Big Dog Brand Clothing, but it'd just be Cleveland Browns. It'd be the Big Dog, but just Cleveland Brown style.
I would much rather if you said like Mud Dogs,
so
if we just
be,
like took that.
It'd be if the Cleveland Browns would be partner with Big Dog to create clothing for Freddie Kitchens on the sideline.
No, if you were that guy, it would be Red Dog.
Oh, Red
Dog. Do
Dog's
you remember? Yeah, that
yeah.
beer.
Yeah, my father would drink that beer.
By the way, do they
and
still
he,
drink
he
that?
He hit me afterwards.
Oh my God. I'm kidding. That never happened. That. But wait, does that beer still exist?
No, I've only, the last time I saw it was when I was living in Kentucky like 7 years ago. And I bought a 30 pack of it, and it was awesome.
Was it good?
It's strong.
Is it strong? Did you finish all 30 of those?
I think I fell asleep in the outfield that night. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, it's fun.
I always remember just that logo.
The commercial was the cool logo. The logo made me want to drink beer when I was 7 years old.
Because of the dog's face.
Yeah, I was like, I want to drink beer one day.
I should have just put like a Clifford on it.
And that'd be good too. Like Clifford's like bad brother.
Yeah.
He's like in and out of jail all the time.
He's the guy who does the drugs and drinks.
Yeah, he sharpens his nails and the shivs, you know?
That's good. That's healthy.
That's what it is. So Baker Mayfield, he's been pressured on 23% of his dropbacks, or on 30.6% of his dropbacks, which is 23rd. He's been sacked 11 times. I don't think the pass protection's been that bad. I think it's mostly on him. When you watch him play, he's back there, and if nothing's open in 2 seconds, he just goes to the right. And it's like, oh, there's Mayfield walking to a sack there. There's Mayfield walking into pressure. And whenever he stands in the pocket and steps up into and makes his throws, he's good, but too often he's going right into pressure. He just walks in the defensive ends. He walks into Aaron Donald. And then you get smacked at the offensive line. Chris Collinsworth talks about the offensive line, how they got to do better. It's on Baker. And Baker hasn't got enough of, I think, a scolding for it, you know? Or it has been brought up enough that he's the biggest problem with this offensive line.
It's three things. And I'm going to agree with you partially, but I'm still going to agree with the people here mostly. It's the offensive line, it's Baker, and it's Freddie Kitchens. These three have worked together to make this offense look god-awful. That offensive line, listen, I'm with you in the sense where he's rolling out. You know what Baker looks like? Is Taylor controlling the quarterback with the Madden.
Yeah, yeah.
Where all I'm doing is rolling out to the right, and I'm just trying to bomb it downfield.
Yeah.
That's what it
looks
like. But
he's not even throwing the ball downfield that much.
Because he can't. And I would say with the offensive line, they counted. And it was, if you hit two Mississippi, he's getting hit.
Well, it was
the only
because
thing.
He's running. He's there two are, Mississippi. He's running.
There are
in
three
the hits.
Plays. I know exactly what you're referring to, especially at the end of the game, where I agree with you. He should have just stayed.
He
in the
ran
pocket.
Right into Clay Matthews in that
he
last
saw
play.
Ghosts, but the reason why he saw ghosts is because he had such little time.
I mean,
throughout the entire game, like, which is why I'm partially agreeing with you and partially agreeing with his O line is not doing him favors.
They're not. I mean, they're not great, but
they're
like,
not doing him
they're,
anything.
They're average. A lot of quarterbacks who go
Matt,
through a lot more than he
it's
does.
It's this easy because they brought it up during the whole game. You traded away your best offensive lineman for your receiver, but what happens when you don't have enough protection in order to get it to that new receiver?
That's fine.
You can't do it.
But like the offense too, like you mentioned, I think it's mostly on Baker more than the offensive line. Like I think the protection has been good enough for him, and he doesn't do enough with it, and he's constantly afraid, and he's constantly rolling to the right, and he's constantly running to sacks, he's constantly running into pressure. And there's no consistency at all or no feel for it.
But I made my point on the offensive line, so let me touch on my other second option here, which is Freddie Kitchens. Matt, did you watch the game?
Yeah, I watched the game.
Okay, good. Did you see when it was 4th and 10 what Freddie Kitchens did?
Yeah.
Matt.
He ran a quarterback draw. He ran a running back draw.
He ran a running back draw.
39,
on 4th and...
screen to Chubb, 4th and 9.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. When I thought that Baker was just trying to get the defense to jump off sides, I was like, okay, he's trying to pull an Aaron Rodgers right now. Maybe he's trying to learn, but this isn't going anywhere. When he snapped the ball at 2 seconds, I go, is that a mistake? Did somebody do that? And then Kitchens took credit for it or took the blame, which I'm agreeing with some of the talking heads here. I'm kind of tired of seeing the whole Kitchens, let's feel sorry for him. It's like what I told you last week. His ass is so fired in 2 weeks.
I don't think so.
When they go 1-4, they cannot go 1-4. That's what I want you to realize. You're telling me, and granted, they're still paying Hugh Jackson. They'll still have to be paying Freddie Kitchens, that they're going to be okay with 1-4?
No, I mean, they're not going to be okay. It never happens at all.
Think about
a first-year
that.
Coach never gets fired for that. But, like, their offense, whenever it's like the offense as it's constructed, it's RPO, play action, throw a quick slant to the shotgun.
That last series, man, the first, second, third, and fourth
they have 40,
and goal.
They have 40 seconds.
You
and
didn't,
they just spread it out
you
every
didn't
time.
Give Chubb the ball once.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you give Chubb the ball if you know it's 4-down territory? Why not try to get a few more yards?
Yeah.
That was terrible. And it was funny because somebody posted like one of those little memes and it was Freddie Kitchens playbook on 1st and goal with 40 seconds left. It was Hail Mary.
Yeah. That's
the
what
Hail
like.
Mary Madden thing. I go, that's awesome.
Yeah. That's what it
What is
like.
The matter with you?
Also, I don't think they're doing enough like Baker's not taking advantage of having Odell and Jarvis on the sidelines. Like the all, like
I agree.
So like Odell and Beckham, they're both so Landry's averaging 11.9, you know, average air yards per attempt to him. Beckham's averaging 12.1. Beckham should be averaging like 16, 17, and Landry's typically only at like 7 or so. He just catches a bunch of short passes. And like even Beckham's numbers are really inflated from that Jets game when he was at 18.7 in a game that, you know, it's the Jets and doesn't really matter. So I think everything's just also way too short to these two guys. There's not enough deep chances to him. Like that's what you're paying Beckham for. You're paying him to run some go routes down the sideline and hit him deep, and they're not doing that at all either. And then the offense is way too short as it's constructed too. And just too much play action, short passes, screens, run the ball up the middle even though they don't block that very well.
You know, and get it on the other side now with Baltimore. They're going up against a Baltimore team that truly, like what we talked about, tried their asses off last week to win that game against Kansas City, which I figured out the issue with Baltimore the moment I watched that game.
They threw it too much.
You can't play from behind. No, they can't play from behind.
You can't. Well, also they against Kansas City, you can to begin with.
They just don't have it where their offense relies on like the deep passes. Like you just said, oh, they threw it down the field too much. They have to.
They
do. You have to against Kansas City.
You
can't run the ball as much as you want to, which is all Baltimore relies on. Mark Ingram and Lamar Jackson are studs when it comes to rushing. Mark Ingram is killing it.
Yeah.
But you can't do it against teams that just start throwing the ball and scoring because then you're playing from behind. And to touch on this, dude, I didn't like the Harbaugh two-point thing. You're playing from behind now. What are you doing? You're now taking away the confidence of your team because now if you don't get it, it then hurts their psyche. I didn't agree with that.
I mean, unless you're Buffalo, then you can do it.
Okay, here we go.
No, I understand what you're saying. But I think, it's Kansas City, but like, that's how you have to beat them. You have to control the ball, limit the opportunities that they have. And yeah, like it's harder whenever you're down, but they still score in their first drive. And then they threw the ball way too much. I think Lamar Jackson threw it 50 times. And obviously, that's because you're down 20-3.
That's what
I
mean.
You're down 30-13. Those sort of things happen. But to beat Kansas City, you have to get a lead and you have to control the ball. You can't give them the ball back. And they didn't do that at all in that game. And so they did have a lead, but they didn't do enough to suffocate and hold on to it. Because they go back to last year in that New England game. They ran the ball 40 times against them and they forced 2 turnovers. And Kansas City scored, 17 points in 10 minutes and almost came back and beat them?
I thought it was, 3 minutes. I thought it was, something ridiculous.
It was absurd.
I thought it was, a world
and,
record.
Even then, you barely have a chance to beat them. But, that's what you have to do, though. You have to limit the number of possessions they have. And Baltimore didn't do it. They threw the ball too often. There was too many incompletions.
And that's where I feel like with this game, Baltimore is going to be able to take advantage of everything that Cleveland's going to give them. Because like what we're talking about and like what you don't believe, Freddie Kitchens is so fired. Their next game, hold on a sec. I have their next game. Their next game, because this is what you and I are talking about.
I know they play New England week 6 or week 7.
Well, no. Hold on. They're going up against the 49ers after this.
Fine.
So that's kind of my point here. It's another undefeated team. Sure, it's a team where it still hasn't been tested, which goes back to my discrepancy of the NFL point. But it's still easily a losable game where you can be 1-4 with the Cleveland Browns. We are talking them being 1-4. Because I don't see them being Baltimore, especially because Baltimore lost last week, which I told you that would have been their Super Bowl. That's the game that they would be trying hard. This game, I feel like they're just going to destroy Cleveland, and they're going to take out all their anger on Cleveland, and I feel bad for them and Baker. This is a bloodbath for me, man.
Yeah, I mean, Judon's been really good. Also, the only thing, I think this game is going to be a little bit closer because Cleveland was good against the run last week. They've been pretty good against the run so far this year, too. They were able to hold Gurley in check, and this is also like a weird offense where they do all the jet sweeps, do the reverses, and they were able to stop Robert Woods a few times in those two. So I think it's going to be closer just because I think Cleveland stops the run pretty well. But Greedy Williams is hurt. Denzel Ward's hurt. And their secondary is kind of mishmashed together. So yeah, I think Baltimore wins, but I think it's me, not like a massacre like you're envisioning.
Even though I'm having the massacre, I'm also having on the other end desperation.
Yeah,
it's desperation times 1,000 is what Cleveland has to be. So even though I'm talking bloodbath and even though I have Baltimore beating them, it's not soundless. I mean, because again, Cleveland has to be in desperation. You have to go into this game being, oh crap, we have to win. Otherwise, we're 1-3. Matt, they're 1-3.
Yeah.
What the hell?
That's what kind of what happens, though. Whenever you have the team that wins the offseason, very rarely wins the regular season.
And I agree, though.
Unless you're McVay
time.
And you're able to be just a really good head coach and be able to take advantage of it. Or, be able to manage the situation better.
Baker looks gross.
Yeah. Sit in the pocket. Step up in the
pocket.
There's
no shake and bake with this. This is more like, dude, you're the easy bake oven that never worked.
Yeah.
We had to return you.
Step up in the pocket, Baker.
Yeah. God, give me my muffins. Make me a cake.
No, he's making cake out of the box. He's not taking the flour out. He's not taking the eggs out. He's just pouring that stuff out of the box.
It's terrible.
I know it's on Myles Garrett in the summer. 6 sacks, 10 pressures, 8 quarterback hits, 5 tackles for a loss. He's awesome. I also really enjoy whenever him and Sheldon Richardson rush on the same side. But yeah, that's all I kind of have for this one. The Ravens are 7-point favorites. Who do you have in this one?
7 points favorite. There's no way they would cover that for me. I just don't believe that. I have Baltimore 28. I have Cleveland 26. Like I said, I have a bloodbath here. I just don't have, like, I just don't believe in Cleveland. I just can't.
Yeah, so I have Baltimore 27-20. I'm taking Baltimore.
So what, you're going for a tie with the points?
No, like I mean, like...
Wait, what are you going with here? I'm not allowing
so
this.
The score...
What are you going
so
with?
So the score I have is Baltimore 27-20, but I'm picking Baltimore to win by more than 7.
Okay.
So like Baltimore is my pick.
Okay,
I'm not going to pick the push.
Technically, my pick is Cleveland on this.
Yeah, it is.
Oh.
Yeah, I think there's a better chance of Baltimore winning by 8 than Cleveland.
I don't think that it's going to be.
It's also
bad.
In Baltimore, too.
I get, but again, it's desperation. If they were to get blown out by Baltimore, you have to fire Kitchens.
I don't know.
Come on.
Also, like, Baker's just bad against the pass rush.
It'd be a
god awful
GM. I fire so many coaches under my tenure.
Yeah. So the next game we have here is New England against Buffalo. My heart, it can fly forever.
Do you just want to go on your own little rant right now?
My ribs are ripped open. I'm vivisected right now. My heart is flying forever through the sky, up into the stars, up across the furthest reaches of the universe, back where that first bang happened itself. Because the Bills are 3-0, and they're the most team watching football. Josh Allen is spectacular. And
who have they played against?
They beat Cincinnati.
Uh-huh.
And they beat the Jets.
Uh-huh.
And then they beat... I watch all these games, too. Give me a second. I need a second to think about
I'll give you a second on this one.
Yeah. So they're a lot of fun. And so the thing about Buffalo in this game is New England's hurt. They haven't played anybody at all either. And Buffalo, can they play their game? Can they have no turnovers? Can they dominate the clock? Can they score red zone touchdowns? Can they live off of like some absurd Josh Allen plays? Can they run the ball well? And can they tackle well? And, you know, and if they can do those things, it's like, yeah, it's that they're at home. They can do it. They can beat New England.
I think the other game, by the way, is Titans. That you're missing.
No, it's not Titans.
I thought it was Titans.
No.
Oh, wait, no, they're playing Titans in 2 weeks. That's what I'm thinking of. Yeah. But either way, that's how bad the third team is. Just to let you know, we can't even think of their name because they're awful. That's the issue with this Buffalo Bills team. I don't understand what you're saying at all when it comes to Allen. His stats, Matt, what are you referring to? 750 yards.
Awesome.
3 TDs, 3 interceptions, 4 fumbles,
okay.
3 of them lost.
So
what are we talking about?
2 of the interceptions went off his receiver's hands. The other one was a bad decision. That
you
one was
love
on
making
him.
Excuses for this man. And it's
not his fault.
So weird because I think that this team is fun, but it's mostly because the defense is what's keeping their offense alive. Otherwise, they're whatever.
Yeah, I mean, their defense allows them to win 20-14 and things like that.
That's what I'm saying. And by the way, Frank Gore has turned back the clock now. Who needs Singletary when you have him? John Brown has been amazing. The only thing where Allen... And this is a fun little stat for you to make yourself feel better.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, in the fourth quarter, he's top 3 in the NFL.
Yeah.
He's top 3 in the NFL in the fourth quarter.
That comeback against the Jets was legitimate.
And John Brown is like top 10 in receiver in the NFL.
There we go. Oh, they beat the Giants. They're the Kings of New
York.
There
it is. That's who it is.
They're the Kings of New York.
Oh, but it wasn't with Daniel Jones.
But it was in New York. It was on the road.
But it wasn't with Danny Dimes. You can't brag about it unless it's with Danny Dimes.
I'm not bragging about it, but I'm still saying it's a
legitimate
win.
Danny Dimes is the real freaking deal. But seriously, this team, I don't see it. And I think it's because this team is decent. They beat up on teams that are bad where they should, which is fine. But when a good team comes into play, they're still not going to stand a chance.
Well, who knows?
They're still just that middle-of-the-line pack. The only confidence I will give you, I may be changing my tone a little bit when it comes to them making the playoffs. That's just because... Dude, their schedule, I mean, like what I said, with Titans in 2 weeks.
They haven't played
Red
the Miami
Skins,
yet.
Dolphins twice, yeah. Still the Jets again, and Steelers at the end of the season with no Big Ben. They can easily win 9 games.
Yeah,
I think they could be 9-7.
Yeah, I think they're going to.
In the AFC, that's going to get you a playoff spot.
Probably.
That's going to get you one.
Yeah.
Because I even feel like 8-8 may get you a playoff spot.
I mean, this is a top 5 defense, one of the best pass defenses in football. Their top 5 defense. Their pass rush is hilarious because it's composed of two guys that one's 31, the other one's 36. Ed Oliver's winning a lot of pass rushing matchups, but just like in the sacks. The one issue is that they've had some issues stopping the run outside the tackles, but that's not that big of a deal. And I love watching their safeties, too. I mean, their safeties hit.
I know.
They hit, dude.
Oh, dude, no, here's my thing. With Tre'Davious White, I love, as well as I love Micah Hyde.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan when it comes to cornerbacks and free safeties. I told you that, which is why Buffalo is so dominant at the same time. I just feel like that Tom is still going to be Tom, which is where we can get in New England now. Oh, they don't have the weapons. They're injured. Matt, who's injured?
Well, their left tackle's hurt. Isaiah Wynn's replaced by Marshall Newhouse.
Great.
Newhouse has started before this season. He started 4 games in the last 2 years. Their center has been replaced because they have blood clots.
Great.
They lost James Devlin, their fullback, which I'm sure they have.
Yeah,
like,
that's really going
to
matter.
Another
right there.
Lacrosse bro who they injected with steroids is going to be good to replace
they
him.
They just have like a flattened body back there and they just blow up that body.
It's like, yeah, I love White Claws.
Ready to go?
And then Edelman has a chest injury. And
he's going to be playing.
The best matchup, this is the best argument I can make for the Bills defense is the Patriots. They bat down a lot of passes and New England throws a lot of quick passes. And it's hard to throw short little passes against a defensive line that knocks passes down. That's my argument for the Bills defense.
But the thing is, it's like what I already know what New England's going to do, especially against this Buffalo Bills team. Gordon, Edelman, they're just going to get a few passes here and there. It's James White and Burkhead are just going to tear this team apart. I just feel like they're going to be doing.
I don't think so.
I think they're going to be doing the dinking thing the entire time.
But they have fast linebackers. They cover well.
I feel like James White's going to have a gigantic game. He just had a baby last week, which is why he didn't play with Miami. This is going to be for his child. Are you really believing that the man doesn't love his child enough to beat the Buffalo Bills?
He just had it. He doesn't even know it. He doesn't even know the child. So the other thing I think we've underrated here is New England's defense. They've allowed 17 points, which is first.
Man.
They have 4-6 turnovers. They're allowing 4 net yards per pass, which is first. They're allowing 2.3 yards in 10, which is first. So these are 2 of the 5 best defenses playing against each other. I do want to mention that Bills game. They had that one Allen interception. God. They had a fumble they lost in the red zone. You know, they gave 7 points away. They lost at least 3 points. The game should have been a bigger win than it was, than what it took for them to intercept Danny Dalton and seal it. But they've lost some points that they should have had there because of that. I think this is going to be a low-scoring game, though. Honestly, I think it's going to be like a 23-20 sort of game. I think Buffalo has the defense to play with the injured New England team. And I think it's going to be nasty. I think it's going to be a nasty game.
I think you live in an effing fantasy world is what you live in right here.
Well,
this
for
is
sure.
not anything
sure.
what you just said right there. Because here's the thing when it comes to the Tom Brady and the New England Patriots this year. I agree with everything you just said about that defense. I think that's what's scary about this season. This defense may be the best in the NFL, and it is so freaking good, and I don't think anybody is going to be able to put up a lot of points on them, which in reverse, that New England offense is going to be able to still control the ball, still put up plenty of points. I don't know what the hell you're talking about low-scoring, close game. New England is going to blow this team out, and it's just because, by the way, has he only lost like 2 or 3 games against Buffalo Bills in his entire career, Tom?
They've won the last 5 matchups.
Are you sure on this?
Yeah, I think the last time... Yeah.
We're going to come back on this
stat. I think the last time Buffalo beat him, I think it was with Kyle Orton, where he rolled out and threw a touchdown the corner of the end zone. And that was like 4 years ago.
Good Lord.
Yeah, I mean, like, and this is the typical New England thing. You get excited for a game, you're like... Buffalo's 3-0. Yeah. I love the Bills.
This is the normal
thing
here.
The Patriots are 3-0. I can't wait for this game. Yeah. It's like, oh, it's 21-0. Why do I care about anything?
Why do I care anymore? I'm done.
That being said, I'm gonna let my heart fly.
Good.
I'm going to let it soar.
Good. You let your boy go.
I got Buffalo winning 23-16.
Okay. All right. There it is. I have, by the way, just to show you what I have here, I have New England 35. I have the Bills 17.
Okay.
I can't believe you right now. You picked so much with your heart that any logic went out the door and you said this is
my
love.
The one thing I
want
to say too, I think Josh Allen is scheme proof. Like, you can't trick him. Okay. You can't scheme for the athleticism. He's going to look at the blitzes Belichick is running at him. He's going to be like, okay.
You realize.
And then he's going to run forward and run backwards, spin around.
How well
escape.
Has a running quarterback ever worked with Bill Belichick?
It's never worked.
There's your answer.
Hey, Here's my other thing.
What quarterback has worked with Bill Belichick? Name them both.
Patrick Mahomes.
No, he hasn't even worked with Bill Belichick.
Yeah, he's scored a bunch
His
of
names
points.
Are Eli Manning and Nick Foles. How is that possible that those are the kryptonite of Bill Belichick?
I mean, the Super Bowl.
That's the point. I think that's the game that matters that we're talking
about. Jake Plummer beat him
Until
once.
Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs beat them in the playoffs, it's still Nick Foles and Eli Manning are Bill Belichick's kryptonite.
And Jake Plummer and Peyton Manning beat him once.
Jake Plummer was once.
Peyton Manning beat him twice.
Peyton Manning was around for Jake too Plummer long to only beat him twice.
Yeah, for sure.
That's what I mean.
They had changed the rules because he was so upset. Yeah. I think it's going to be fun.
It's not going to be fun.
It's probably not going to be fun, but I hope
it's
I want
you to watch
fun.
This whole game.
I'll watch the condensed version.
You better text me the entire time.
No, because I can't because they're on the same time as Houston.
No, it's cool. I'll get you the split screen. I got you. Okay. I can get them both for you. Don't worry.
All right.
I can
good.
Set up your Xbox.
I'm for it. Cool. I'm for it. All right. So the last game we have here are the Dallas Cowboys are going to New Orleans.
Yeehaw!
Don't go to New Orleans. Don't be from Texas and
Why?
Go to New Orleans.
Everybody loves New Orleans. Everybody compliments the Saints games. They say even if you're from whatever team that you are that they're playing against to go.
I still have alcohol poisoning.
Oh, that's what you're saying. Yeah don't go to the streets. Don't go to Bourbon.
Don't drink Everclear at 10 o'clock in the morning. The Saints are 2.5-point favorites. So Teddy Bridgewater, 1.8 average completion yards, 3.3 average air yards, 7.4% aggressive index, negative 6.7 average pass to the sticks. Against New Orleans, against Seattle, they had 2 non-offensive touchdowns, a punt return for a touchdown, fumble return for a touchdown. They start another drive inside of the Saints' 30-yard line. And this was like the most passive, most conservative, most afraid like football I've ever seen. Like, this is like accidentally, like, their game plan was when you accidentally see somebody's bra strap, you go, oh, I got to go to confession the next day. Like, it was as conservative as you can possibly be, and it was very upsetting to me. But they were able to win last week, but I don't think it means much at all for this week.
I agree with you, but only in a sense where I disagree. Last week did mean something. That was a big, big freaking win.
I mean,
it's
all that. But I'm saying, like, as far as extrapolating it to the future and this week, I don't think it means much.
Can we please talk about how once again Taylor was right that Sean Payton listens to the show, because otherwise he wouldn't have given Kamara as many touches as he did without listening to my response.
Well, guess how many touches he had.
How many touches did
25.
He have? 25. There it is.
You said like, oh, he needs that 40.
Hey, here's my thing. How many other touches did anybody else get?
I don't even know.
I think Mike Thomas was the most
one
up.
I think he had 7 targets.
Oh, yeah, like 5 touches overall.
Oh, he had 5 catches on 7 targets.
There you go.
54 yards.
They only gave the ball to Kamara, which is all you need to do. And they went into
and
Seattle
and
they won.
You need to have 2 non-offensive touchdowns.
But they won.
Yeah, I know they
as
won.
As much as you could say
it's
that,
important.
It was
it's
the
good.
Entire team. And that's where I feel like they are going to lose this game, not only because Dallas is the greatest team I've ever seen in my life, but because the Saints were so emotional about last week. Teddy B was crying after the game, apparently. They had a big emotional speech from the defensive guys before the game. I mean, everything just seemed to go well, where this was their Super Bowl to prove all of the doubters wrong. We're still here. We don't need Drew Brees. We got this. That was their big win. I just don't see them having that same type of emotion, same type of drive this week that they did last, even though it is in the Dome.
Yeah. No, I think so, too. And also, like, so if this entire, if Bridgewater doesn't throw the ball downfield,
like
it
that.
Doesn't matter. Like, he has to do something this week.
He does.
He won't be able to do what he did last week, unless, you know, Dak throws 2 pick sixes or something. And Kamara last week, like you mentioned, he had 16 carries for 69 yards, 1 touchdown, long of 16. He had 19 yards before contact, 50 yards after contact. And like, this is one of those performances where, like you mentioned, like, this is dragging the entire offense. He had 9 catches on 10 targets for 92 yards, 1 touchdown. 29 yards is the long. His average catch came 1.3 yards behind the line of scrimmage.
That's good.
And then he turned that into an average catch of 9.2 yards. So it was like every catch with him, he gained 10 yards extra on his own. And so like he did that against Kendricks and Wagner and a good Seattle defense. But like I don't know. The Dallas is able to hold him down pretty well last year when they played. And they're actually very good. Jalen Smith is very good. And so I don't see the same thing happening this week. Unless, again, they get two non-offensive touchdowns that they're able to survive off of.
But that's what I can touch on right now. Again, I'll talk about my team and how much I love them more than life itself. However, the defense hasn't shown me anything for Dallas. You can say whatever you want. Jalen Smith does not look good.
You know,
I don't know.
So?
Like, he's ranked 58th out of all linebackers according to Pro Football Focus.
Oh, no, we're not
oh,
doing
that's
that.
What we're doing right now. We are going down this route, and I know how much it makes you angry. But that's my issue. Jalen Smith hasn't looked good, period. Even without the stats, even without anything, as far as what the eyes can tell you, it's not the same. He's not flying across from one side to the other. He's kind of just out there and doing his thing. I have been really disappointed in this defense besides Byron Jones more than anything else. And I'm hoping this defense is going to be able to show up in the dome once again against New Orleans because they will be wanting revenge. And when it comes to even Sunday night games, Dallas is like half and half with their wins and losses. While the Saints, they barely lose on Sunday night.
Yeah.
It's going to be a difficult one, but I expect my offense to just dominate.
Well, and that's where the matchup is here because the Saints aren't very good at stopping the deep pass. Right now, so far this year, they've allowed 12 for 22 deep passes for 432 yards, one touchdown. And that's not including, and then Goff, including that, was 1 for 3. So between Deshaun Watson and between Russell Wilson, they're able to complete 11 for 19 deep passes. And these are passes over 15 yards. And also, the Saints are they're 26 in DVOA against deep passes. And they're going up against the Dallas team where Dak Prescott's been awesome at throwing the ball downfield. Amari Cooper has been targeted six times. He has 5 catches for 140 yards and 2 touchdowns on passes over 15 yards. And like Lattimore's been good, like, breaking down the ball, but not very good at playing one versus one deep. And I think that's what this game comes down to. I think it comes down to who's going to be better, Dak Prescott's ability to throw the ball downfield or Alvin Kamara's ability to carry entire offense on his own.
That's a fair point. I would say that I agree, especially because for me, the defense is just going to force him to throw. They're going to make Teddy B beat them, and they're just going to, I would hope, sell out and just try to stop Kamara. That's all the only thing I'd be focusing on. When it comes to Amari apparently had an MRI on the ankle, and the foot was bothering him earlier during the year when it comes to preseason. So I'm wondering if he's going to be okay, but I don't think it's that serious. And then with you have Cobb in the middle, and then you have, what's his face? Why am I blanking? Galloway? Yeah.
Gallup is hurt.
No, Gallup. That's who I'm thinking. I don't know why.
Yeah,
I thought
Gallup
Galloway.
Is hurt, though.
I was thinking Galladay, actually, from Detroit. But Gallup being out, that also is a big difference. And now, if you have Amari kind of crippled, I mean, you are kind of peeling back your wide receivers. Yeah. So the only one that I feel like you're going to have here is Cobb and Smith, and if Amari can't go.
Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, but that's an entirely different game. That's what I want to talk about where the Dallas is just way too dominant. I wasn't even going to touch on the running game, but since you brought it up, Pollard and Zeke are the greatest duo I've ever seen
in
my entire life.
Well, the Saints also have a really good run defense, too.
Doesn't matter to me. Zeke can go out there, and he gets 100 yards in his sleep. They're just going to give him the ball 23 times. He's going to have a meaningless 101 yards. Pollard may come in for a few touches, but in the end, I agree with your point overall. This is about Dak being able to throw the ball downfield against these corners. This is about him being able to put up points. And are they going to be able to match touchdown for touchdown as far as Teddy B with Dak?
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen.
I mean, I don't think it's even a matching thing. I think it's like, oh, we're up by 10. We have this game now.
But Teddy B is going to have to throw.
He's going to
have
to do something.
That's the thing. It's like the same thing with Lamar Jackson, same thing with Kirk Cousins, where these quarterbacks are fine and dandy whenever it comes to just be the game manager, be the guy who's just going to be the safe play. But what if you're down? What if you're having them throw the ball? Are they going to be able to do it? None of the guys I just mentioned have shown that they're able to do it, at least on a consistent basis. The Teddy B thing really did disappoint me last week. I won't lie. I mean, thought they would try to throw him downfield at least a little bit. And you were big on Teddy B.
I still love him.
He's the highest paid backup, and that's what you give me? Brissett is better.
I mean, his leg exploded. You know, the fact that he's been playing football again is amazing.
He's still the highest paid backup, though.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, but let me touch more on some Dallas talk here.
His entire leg exploded.
This team, yeah, so let's touch on this because I was brought it up by Austin, of course. Did you hear about what Zeke does before the games? Because Jerry Jones?
No.
Oh, see, this is how I know that you're out of the loop and you've just been focusing on your personal car thing.
It's in shambles.
But
So apparently, Jerry Jones is asked about Robert Quinn's celebration dance after he made the sack last week. And Jerry Jones then brought up entirely something separate of Zeke before every single game. He's naked and he's riding around a broomstick, slapping his ass, acting like a cowboy.
That sounds like fun.
And by the way, whenever he brought it up, all of the talking heads were like, can you believe it? I don't think that encourages anybody. And everyone's laughing. I go, it's guys just having fun.
Yeah,
but the problem is, and it's what people said, Jerry, don't say that. Just don't say it to the media. Just keep it to yourself. If it's like a tradition, something funny that the guys are doing in the locker room, don't say
it. It's locker room talk.
Like, don't say it.
Or just say, if you then ask them, you should see what that old boy Elliot does or something like that.
Wait till you see him slap that ass of his.
No, yeah, just leave some imagination a little bit. So do you think he's going to come riding into town of Broomstick and they're going to beat the Saints this weekend? What's your pick for this one?
Oh, wait. So we're already wrapping this up? All right. Hold on. I'm sorry. I just keep going with Dallas. Let me get my score. Easily, I have Dallas winning this game, but I have it, I think, simultaneously close. Let me see.
I have Dallas winning 27-13.
Okay, cool. I was like, don't tell me we have the same because otherwise people are going to think I cheated. Dallas 31, Saints 21. I have them winning by 10 here. I just feel like Dallas are going to be able to still put up points.
Yeah, I think it's too many points.
Yeah, it's too many points, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're wrong, as usual.
I think it's too many points.
Come on, this entire show has just been about how I was right the entire time.
I mean, you're right about some things.
I was right about Carolina. I was right about New Orleans. I was right about Baltimore. I was wrong about Kansas City.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing I admitted on was Patrick Mahomes. But other than that, dude, I've been solid this season. You need to step up. You need to bring your game next time.
I've been right about things, but I have to bring it up every time I'm right about something.
Why?
Because I just say what I say. Let it sit there. It's out there.
But nobody ever believes you're right on anything.
It's fine.
I don't
know. I know what the truth is.
But the truth is you're always wrong.
No.
I think that's why you don't say anything.
Why am I 7-2 right now?
You're only 7-2 because you cheat with your little point system. Okay. That's why. Okay, all right.
All right, so to recap, I have Houston winning 27-23. You have Carolina winning 27-23. I have Baltimore winning 27-20. You have Baltimore winning 28-26. I have the Bills with the upset 23-16. You have New England 35-17. I have Dallas 27-13, and you have Dallas 31-21.
You are wanting me to catch up. You just bragged about your winning and loss. I hope, because otherwise you'll give me so much crap. I have to have New England beat them, because if the Buffalo win, really going to come in. You won't stop smiling the entire show, which I won't be able to stand.
I already can't stop smiling just thinking about
Sunday. This is disgusting. I'm so grossed out with you right now.
I'm so excited.
I hate you.
I just wish the game was at 3. But instead of it being at 12, I may have to go somewhere and watch this one.
Well, it's because nobody expected it to be a big game. That's the issue. Whenever they put noon games on, it means that they just don't care.
Yeah.
That's what noon games are. It's all the games are going on at once. These are all the games we don't care about.
I am really glad in the season preview we did that I was like, either Buffalo or the Jets are going to be like 9-7, have a chance to make the playoffs. I'm really glad I picked Buffalo.
Fair.
I'm really glad.
I at least have my Carolina thing correct.
Yeah, I'm glad I picked Buffalo on that one. So, anyways,
I don't brag about what I pick, what I'm right about. Please.
I mean, I'm just glad I picked Buffalo. It's made the whole thing more enjoyable. Well, that's all for our show today. Thank you for listening. Again, I'm very sorry that my life's a wreck and I was barely even able to do this show today. But hopefully we'll be back in place next week and we'll talk about the Texans-Panthers game. Maybe we'll do a Texans-Falcons preview on its own, but if not, we'll do this show again next Thursday. For sure. But in the meantime, my name's Matt Weston. Thank you for listening to Red Radio. Thank you for being on today, Taylor. And make sure you tell your friends, your family, your doctor, your dentist, you know, whatever you're doing, tell them about the show. Make sure to like and listen to it.
I think we should start like riding some broomsticks and slapping our ass naked.
Sounds good.